So good to see everybody. Pastor Sam and Maddie, as Pastor Christine said, are down in Florida with Steve Schroeder and his wife, Sylvia. And they're down with Bishop Ron Kuykendall, who was with us in October. So it should be just an awesome time, fighting off gators and... Yeah, it's good. I had this picture that I heard some years ago. As you know, we hear the testimonies of the onslaught. You know, it seems like everybody's in warfare right now. Everybody's facing stuff that is just really tough. And Graham Cook actually uses this kind of imagery. He said, it's like when you're in the battle, you're dressed, ready for the fight, and the enemy is lined up against you, and oh my goodness, there's lots of them, and they look ferocious, and they look like they want to take your head off, and you feel very alone. And then as they're lined up, ready to come toward you, you see a head just kind of moving behind them, and the head turns toward you and you recognize it's Jesus. He's there and he gives you that wink, like, we're going to get them. So all of a sudden you feel it's not all lost. We're going to win this thing. And in Jesus, it's already won.
Amen.
So the fight becomes totally different when you know that. Like when you know you're going to be victorious, everything changes.
Yeah.
I played on some basketball teams that were very good, and you'd see the guys warm up, and you'd kind of laugh, you know? Like, this is going to be a cakewalk. You just knew you were going to win. It was just a matter of, by how much? The Lord wants me to get on with it? Okay. What can I say? We know that we're victorious in Him. And the battles come and the battles go, you know. It's the wind and the waves, they come. But Jesus never met a storm that He liked. Never met a storm that He didn't change by His presence. And He's with each of us. Yeah. He is so good. So good. Look in your bulletins. Not while I'm preaching. coldest night of the year is coming up. And we want to be a part of that. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be there and I'm going to walk some. Haven't committed to 2 or 5 or 10K yet, but I'm working on it. and we're going to raise some money for some very good people, people that need help, the hungry, the hurting, and the homeless. And so I encourage you to be a part of that. February 25th it's going to be. And guys, do come out to the Conquer Series. Stefan did an excellent job of encouraging us to be there. I'd like to see every man out. We had 5 guys plus me, so 5 and a half out on yesterday, and every one of them thought it was excellent. I mean, the video series is really, really well put together. You'll be glad you saw it, and it will challenge every man. And so I encourage you guys to look in the bulletin, be there, or be square. Right? As it goes, save your money. We're going to take an offering for coldest night of the year next week. So, let's look at our scriptures. Ephesians, chapter 6. And where are we starting at 10? I'm already up to 17. So, Let's get, can we get verse 10 up there? Yeah. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to pick up, take the helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. You know, that picture last week was so powerful of the shield and how the Roman soldiers used that shield to make sure that their buddies were taken care of. That shield became, you know, they all move in together and then the shield goes over the top and community is huge in the warfare. If you're tempted to stay home or to not go to church, because that's where the devil wants you. He has some of the people that belong here staying home and just taking a little bit of a break. And I'll tell you that is the enemy's tactic. It is not God. God's plan is that we be together and all be able to shield one another. I believe in the concept of cover. Cover. We as a church cover each other. It's not cover as in you got to do what I say. None of that. We cover one another in the fact that we're fighting together. The fact that we're going in one direction, as Stefan put it. We're going in one direction together. There is a power and a safety in that. And the devil wants you alone and by yourself so that you can be picked off any old time. Be in a church. That's God's plan. Being alone is devil's plan. People are listening to doctrines of demons if they're not part of a church. I'm not saying be a part of this one necessarily, but we love to have you here, but always be a part of a church. Yeah. Always, yeah. Always. God. It's God's plan for protecting you and keeping you. And I had prepared and I'm ready to go, but Ron DeLorme spoke a powerful message this morning in the first service, and he drew a connection between the crown of thorns and the helmet of salvation. Jesus' crown of thorns. It was powerful. Ask him about it. You know, waylay him. Make sure he doesn't get out of here before you understand. It was good. I liked it. Yeah. Okay, so here we go. Helmet of salvation. Helmet is pretty easy. Everybody understands helmet, right? Goes on the head. I never understood people that ride bikes without helmets. I got nothing to protect, I guess. I always wore a helmet, and I appreciated what was there, even if it was just my eyes. You know? I appreciate what God gave me. Helmet is pretty good. We'll talk about it a little bit, but what I want to focus on is the Jesus side of it all. Because what we put on Jesus when we put on the armor. It's the God's armor for us. We're putting Jesus on in this stuff. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. You know, the gospel is about him. He is our salvation. If he had not done what he did, there would be no salvation for us. Salvation is an amazing, amazing thing. When I first became a Christian, I understood salvation was that day. Ah, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I didn't have one of those bells and whistles and fireworks kind of times when, oh, Jesus is in my life and everything is wonderful. It was kind of a slow, gradual process, but I knew one day that I had committed my heart to him and that it was going to be different. And then I began to feel different and see different and do all of that stuff. Salvation is that one-time event. But then I read, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that didn't work with what I had been taught, that he did all the work. Wait a minute. You know, like he did all the work so that I could be saved. So why do I need to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling? Somebody's not telling me the truth. But they were. It was just my understanding of what was going on. The salvation is kind of three separate areas, but salvation is the whole thing. You have the initial coming into Jesus Christ, and Ron talked about this a little bit in his sermon this morning. You come into Jesus Christ and you're justified at that day. Just as if I had never sinned. Just as if I had never sinned. Jesus paid the way, and now God looks at me like I'd never sinned. Salvation is what I've received. I'm in. I am in. And at that point, you enter the kingdom of God. Ah. But is the kingdom of God here in its fullness? Well, you could say that, but do we see it? No. Is it being worked out? Yes, it is. It's expanding every time we take territory.
Amen.
Every time. And so there's this expansion, this understanding that learning more about what it is that we're doing, understanding Jesus just a little bit more, as you will never come to a full knowledge of who he is. They will take you an eternity to understand God. And there, I bet there'll be stuff left at the end that I just didn't know that about him. Because he's without limit, without measure. And so we are being made into the image of Jesus. And we're putting aside the stuff that we've learned, the ways of the world, the stuff, the lies that we take on. And that is the sanctification part of salvation. So we're justified and we're being sanctified. It's an ongoing process. And it's wonderful becoming more like Jesus all the time. Not that we all look the same, not that he loves our individuality. But we're moving in that toward becoming like Jesus. And then one day, we'll be glorified. The salvation will be in completion. We will be like him. The day in heaven, that wonderful, the day of the banquet, we'll see our glorification. I'll see you guys glorified. But you know, the beauty of it is, if I'm in Jesus and I'm looking at you, I can see some of that. I can see the sparkly trying to get out. Huh? Now, most of the people around you just see the dirt. But it's fallen off.
Praise God.
And there's something absolutely glorious that's being made out of you. That you're becoming this glorious person. And that's what I ask God to show me about each one of you. Show me what they're like, really. Show me the way you see them. Show me the wonder of who they are. Not the stuff that they're going through. Not the baggage that they seem to want to carry on with. Thank you, Lord. Jesus has your baggage, you know. Baggage is not the same as luggage. Luggage is what you take on a holiday. Baggage is the junk that you carry with you all the time. You know, it just weighs you down. Jesus wants to take your baggage. Let you enjoy your luggage. So good. He is so wonderful, and we're becoming like him. So there's the three areas of salvation, justification, sanctification, and glorification. And we're moving toward it, and it's so wonderful. The sanctification process, that's what they're talking about in Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's that sanctification process. And God lets us do it at our own speed, our own steam, if you would. And so there's stuff that we've taken on, stuff that we learned, stuff that was done to us. We heard a phrase in the Conquer series yesterday. This guy had been to Vietnam. He's a fighter pilot. Now he's a doctor and works with men in purity. And he said that they've learned in studying PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, that there's big T traumas. I had a car crash. Boom. Big T trauma. That's traumatic. And there is an effect upon our spirit at that point. Our soul is affected. But there's also what he called little T traumas. Those things that we don't understand when we're a kid. Our mom and dad fighting when we're trying to go to sleep. Or somebody, like, you can be traumatized in all kinds of ways. One of your siblings taking away your favorite toy could actually trigger a small T trauma. But we've never recognized the significance of all of that. But Jesus does, and Jesus wants us to deal with all of those things. Not just the traumas, but all kinds of stuff that's happened to us. All the lies that the enemy has infiltrated our brains with. So there's lies that we get from the culture around us. There's lies that we pick up from our friends. There's lies that the enemy speaks directly into our own ears and wants us to believe. And it's those things that God wants us to deal with. Those things that God wants us to put aside in the sanctification process, so that we no longer believe lies, but we believe actually what he says about us in the Word. And he has some wonderful things to say about us. Some things that make us blush because we don't actually believe them. You know? I like making the guys blush and saying, if you're going to be the bride of Christ, that means you're his girlfriend right now. See? I don't particularly like that phraseology myself. Because John Wayne was my hero. And he was nobody's girlfriend. I feel sorry for some of you younger ones that don't know who John Wayne is. Do some research. So here we have this sanctification process that's going on. Our salvation is being worked out. Now, we have wonderful resources here for you. We make a Freedom Session available to you. That will deal with a whole bunch of the lies. It is painful. There's no other way to put it, is there? But it's worth it, right? We have lots of people that have gone through it, and having to look at all of the lies that would, like, how could I be so stupid to believe all of this stuff internally and have it affect how I treat others and how I look at myself? And Jesus wants us to just be rid of that stuff. He wants us to walk free of that. And so we have some tools available to people. You know, Freedom Session is one of them. Sozos are another. Go get a sozo, sign up for one. Move a little closer to Jesus. We have personal prayer available to people, It's so good. And I'll tell you, this Conquer series that we've got, the videos are so good, men. I mean, we're going to make the women jealous that they didn't get to be a part of this thing. And how often do we get to make the women jealous about our relationship with Jesus? This is going to, you want to be a part of this thing. Tomorrow night, 8:15, or Saturday at 8:15. I'll show the first one again Saturday. If Saturday is the only day you can come out, I'll show the first one again after we show the second one. So be there for both of them. The guys that saw the first one can leave early. That's your reward. And we had a concern about not being able to take notes fast enough. We'll get you some notes, okay? it's very good. You're going to want to watch it we'll have the notes available for you. So, carry on now. Okay. Jesus, his name, like, this is so serious, his name in Hebrew is Yeshua. You might have heard that, right? Yeshua. You know what that translates to? Salvation. Yeah. Messiah is the second part of the name, yeah. Yeshua, Mashiach. That's the Jesus, the Messiah, but the Savior. Like, it was so important to him, this salvation stuff, that he took on that name. He could have taken any name. Humphrey. Would that wreck your theology? He is Yeshua, our salvation. He saves. He saves. He came to save the world. He is the Savior of the world, John 4:2. So, the helmet of salvation is about more than just making this decision to stay out of hell, which is a quality decision, if that's all it is. Good decision, maybe the best you've ever made. I don't want my ticket to hell stamped. Cashing that Hummer in. I get ideas when I'm preaching, and I save it for another one. Yeah. The Bible, the New Testament particularly, when it talks about salvation, it talks about deliverance from physical danger, such as sickness, deformity, demon possession, death, or being delivered from the evil one, as in deliverance from sin. Salvation from debt, what was owed. He takes care of those things. Sins we owed God too much. We were debtors to God because we had broken his laws. And he takes care of all of our dead.
Wow.
It's amazing. Salvation means entry into the kingdom of God. You become an accessor of all the kingdom resources through salvation. That little prayer, a little change of heart, little change in direction, 180 degrees, boop. And all of a sudden you have access to all of the resources of heaven. Kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven are interchangeable in their understanding biblically. All of the resources are available through salvation. Jesus was interested in giving abundant life to the whole person. If you look at John 10:10, we're not going to today, but this life in the kingdom is life within the reign of God, which is actually present and yet remains future in its complete revelation. The kingdom of God is now and not yet. Right? Because every knee is not currently bowed to Jesus Christ. But mine is. And yours is. So we move in the kingdom, and yet the kingdom is not in completion yet. And so just like our salvation, the kingdom rule of God, the reign of God, is unfolding as we move through time. So cool. God's working with us in such wonderful ways. Let me get back to my notes here. So in Ephesians 6:17, it says, put on the whole armor of God and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit you'll hear next week, which is the word of God. When a soldier suits up for battle, the last thing he puts on is his helmet. You put everything else in place, and you're heading out, and you want to make sure that the helmet is in place. That this, because all of the rest of the armor isn't much good if your head is caved in. I think it's just logic. You can have great shoes and a really sparkly breastplate, but no head? Can't go to the party. So the helmet was so important. Because you want to keep your brain intact. That's the command station for... We got a loose one? I love the Christmas play, because there's always one or two angels that go missing. You know, loose angels, and there they go. Got too much for them. So if your head is badly damaged, the rest of the armor isn't any good at all. You know? And so you want to make sure that your helmet is in place. Now, Ron said this morning that, and I know that I'd read this too, but I'd overlooked it, and Ron picked it up. So, way to go, Ron. Working together, we get some valuable stuff. The helmet in Roman times wasn't just handed out as soon as you became a Roman soldier. You had to buy your own helmet. You had to find a good helmet. So some of the guys would have helmets that were made of metal, and some would have them made of leather. Now leather's pretty good. It does a pretty good job if it's thick. You know? But you want to have a metal one on, because metal does a better job. Test the metal. Keep that brain intact. Keep that thing that God gave you, the command center, in place. Yes. Amen. When I think of the helmet of salvation, we kind of struggle with some, you know, the practicality. How do I actually do that sort of thing with some scriptures? And when it says, put on the mind of Christ, that we have access to the mind of Christ. How do we do that? How do I actually do that? Well, part of how I do it is that when I see the helmet going on, I see the mind of Christ coming on. It's kind of one of those sci-fi things, you know, where they do the mind transfer, you know. So I put on this helmet, and all of a sudden I have the mind of Christ available to me. Now, another practical way is the thing that was out a few years ago with the arm brands, you know, WWJD. That's practicing putting on the mind of Christ. What would Jesus do? So that you bring that into your present. You bring that into the moment that you're in. I think it's a very practical process, you know, just wearing those little... It got fatty for a while, and then it kind of disappeared. But it's very practical. As you're making a decision, you ask yourself, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus handle this situation? What would Jesus have done with all of the snow blizzards coming last week? Probably calmed them. As we had to cancel a whole bunch of meetings last week. What would Jesus do in this situation? It's not a fad. That's practically putting on the helmet of salvation. Putting on the mind of Christ. So, I have five things. So if you're keeping a list here. Five things. Five actions as a believer that you can take to keep the helmet fully fastened. Because you want it actually on, you know. I'd thought of that for a minute. You know, I was big when I was playing sports, and sometimes they wanted me to do things that in my gentle, peaceful nature, I wouldn't want to do. When I would enter a fight, the helmet, I never had it done up, so it would come off real quick. And a fist to the side of the head hurts way more without a helmet than it does with a helmet. If I'd been using the brain that God gave me, I would have done it up properly. So it actually worked the way it was designed to work. And so you want to keep your helmet on. You want to keep it fastened and working the way it's supposed to work. Don't try and reinvent this thing. Keep the helmet in place. So the first one is renew our minds. Our minds are the battlefield. This is where it's happening. This is the most serious stuff, you know. Too much or not enough money at the end of the month. Not enough money at the end of the month is a horrible thing to go through. You see physical sickness, and that's a horrible thing to go through. Those are battles that we have to fight. But most of the battle that we fight is waged between our ears. And so you put on that helmet and it's contained. You've actually put a field around the battlefield. There's a fence there that has to be dealt with. So the outcome of the battles that we fight in our minds determine the course of our lives. You can see that in Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, where it instructs us to renew our minds by allowing the truth of God's word to wipe out anything that is contrary to it. Old ideas, opinions, worldviews must be replaced. We must allow God's truth to continually wash away the world's filth, lies, and confusion from our minds and adopt God's perspective. It's a big deal right now in social media. They're trying to come to terms with false news. As Christians, we've been dealing with it for 2,000 years. The devil's been shooting false news at us forever. And just because we have a thought doesn't mean it's true. Right? I know that's a shock to some of you. But having a thought doesn't mean that what you thought was true. Doesn't mean that what you think about somebody is true. It's just been a thought. It could have been from the devil as much as anywhere else. That's why we're supposed to take captive each thought for Jesus. And it's there that the battlefield is. You believe a bunch of lies about a bunch of people, including yourself, that have been false news, implanted by somebody who is very good at writing up news articles. He has years of experience, and he's just feeding it into you from your friends, from your family, and some of it's original from you. Just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. Look at what the Bible says about whatever it is. You don't know what the Bible says? What would Pastor Randy say? Read the thing. You'll be amazed what you get out of it. Just read it. So good. The battlefield is in our minds. So renew your minds. That's the first one. The second one is reject doubts that arise from circumstances. Okay, how many times have you looked at the circumstances and thought, oh, this is too big. I can't do this. God, you promised me that you wouldn't give me more than I could handle. The circumstances will bring you doubts, and as you entertain those doubts, more lies come. I'm never going to be better. I'm never going to be healed. I'm never going to have enough money. I'm never, you know, like those things are doubts about God's word that you need to challenge right away as soon as it comes. Don't give it any room. It sticks its foot in the door, lop off the foot. Get over your squeamishness. Leave the thing bloody and dangling from your doorknob. This is warfare.
Amen. Amen.
Don't let the thing into your mind. Doubts will kill you. Human beings are sensory creatures. What we cannot fathom from our five senses, we tend to disregard. If we allow them to, circumstances may convince us that God does not really love us or that his word is not true. Oh, how could we believe that? But we get to that place where we believe that God's word isn't true or it doesn't apply to us. You know, I can believe for everybody I pray for except me. You know, I don't know how many times I've heard that. People come up here and they say, Pastor, I can pray for you, but I can't pray for myself. I can't believe for myself. Reject those doubts. Reject anxiety. Reject worry. You actually can reject worry, you know. Worry is simply the devil's intercession. You're interceding for the devil on behalf of the devil when you worry, because it has nothing to do with God's promises or his faithfulness. So next time you're worrying, think about that. And turn worry upside down. Let it become faith. God, you promised. God, you're our protector. God, you're there. Thank you, Lord, that you're with my kids and I can't get a hold of them, even in this age of phones and texting. Isn't it amazing how that happens, you know? You can't get a hold of your kids, so worry jumps in right away. Still works that way. Get a hold of those doubts and reject them. So number three, keep an eternal perspective. Eternal, not internal. Eternal as in forever and ever, like God. When life crashes in around us, we must remember to look up. Our salvation is the most precious gift we've received. Keeping our eyes on that can help us in all of life's storms. We get so involved in the here and now, we're you know, like it's all about what's happening to us right now. And we're being trained that way. Everything we do is for the immediate. But yet God wants us to look to him, to the eternal. Raise our eyes from where the problem is and look unto him. It gives us a completely different perspective.
Amen. Jesus,
like that picture I was giving you at the beginning with the warriors lined up against you, and you see Jesus, and he winks at you with a little smile. You know everything. Like your perspective changes in a heartbeat. Ah, it's okay. Jesus is here. And you bring him into it. Everything changes. You're not alone. Keep an eternal perspective. Number four, remember that victory has already been accomplished.
Amen.
For those of you that have never picked it up, right at the end, the last book of the Bible tells us about the victory. Jesus is coming, right? And Jesus is victorious. The victory has already been won. Worst case scenario is you're going to win.
Love it.
You're condemned to victory.
Praise God.
When we consider ourselves dead to sin but alive to God, we eliminate many of the opportunities Satan uses to entrap us. When choosing sin is no longer an option for us because we recognize ourselves to be new creatures, we effectively cut off many avenues of failure. We are victorious. We are victorious. Might not look like it today or tomorrow, but eventually you're going to see the victory. You're going to see the victory. Number five, find all our hope in him. find all our hope in him. Psalm 73:25 says, whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Our helmet is most effective when we treasure what it represents, the salvation that Jesus purchased for us. Cannot share the place of importance in our hearts with earthly things. If there is anything earthly that's sharing a place with Jesus in our heart, it's an idol. It's that simple. If anything has come before Jesus in our heart, it's an idol. We find our hope in him and him alone. As we wear the helmet of salvation every day, maybe, you can send the kids up. We're toasted here. Everybody's had enough. As we wear the helmet of salvation every day, our minds become more insulated against the suggestions, the desires, and the traps the enemy lays for us. We choose to guard our minds from excessive worldly influence and instead think on things that honor Christ. In doing so, we wear our salvation as a protective helmet that will guard our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. Ah, he gave us something absolutely earth-shattering. When he gave us a helmet of salvation, it protects us. It keeps that place. It's amazing what it does for us. We could talk about all kinds of different things, like the brain is different than the mind, which is part of the soul. You know, mind, will, emotions, that kind of stuff. And brain is just the place that the mind is housed and. Some of the emotions are housed, and you want to keep those protected. But the thing I wanted to focus on today, the thing that I felt like was on God's heart, was just focusing on salvation, what it is, the helmet of salvation. We are saved. We're not going to hell. We're going to heaven. That's been paid for. All of that's been done. Now we're working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Most of us are quivering because we're afraid that it's not going to get done. But it is. Because Jesus said that he would complete the good work that he started in you. He would complete it. So it may not seem like you're moving ahead very fast, but know that you're moving. You're in Jesus, and Jesus is in you. Sometimes you can't rise up the initiative to look like you're going yourself, but know that Jesus is calling you and moving you because he is in you. He has an agenda, and you need to be grateful for that agenda. I usually don't like people with agendas, but I sure love Jesus' agenda. It is so good. Salvation. Salvation. And one day, we will shine like the stars as we are glorified in him.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Ah, can you see each other that way? Is it sort of blinding to look at the person across the aisle from you? Because that's where it is. That's what it's about. Hallelujah. So I'm going to pray for you in a minute, but we're going to get the worship team to come on up here, and we're going to have communion.